soul to soul, and spirit to spirit. Blessings. Well, I made a discovery yesterday that my laptop has a much better sound card than my main computer. Probably because it's newer. Therefore, I will be using this computer to record because the sound is so much better. And hopefully that will cure any of the problems that we've had, what with background noise and so forth. Now, take a minute and become still. Close your eyes and be receptive to the Spirit of God and what Spirit may reveal in this message. I know it appears to be coming from outside of you, but it is in fact within your consciousness. As such, it is being revealed within you. So be receptive to what is revealed today. And the funny thing is that if there is someone sitting next to you, what is revealed to you today in this message may not be the same thing that your neighbor hears. In fact, 15 people can hear this message and come away with 15 different truths revealed to them. That is the proof, the evidence, that it is coming to you from within your own consciousness. What is the nature of prayer? I know we've read volumes on that very topic, the nature of prayer. And it seems that it is almost an infinite subject because the more we delve into the nature of prayer, the more we seem to find. And this morning, I was taking another look at it. The more I look at the nature of prayer, the more I come to realize that a human being, that is a physical body and a mind, cannot pray. A human being cannot pray. Well, that seems to go against everything we've ever heard about prayer since the time we were little children. And we learned how to pray before we went to sleep at night. Or we learned how to pray at the dinner table. Or perhaps as we got a little older, we became more sophisticated and learned how to pray the Lord's Prayer, or the Serenity Prayer. But we may have learned those prayers, and we may have said them quite strenuously, and gotten no results whatsoever. This would explain why many of us turn away from religion and conclude that there is no God. And we're not far from the truth. There is no God until we learn how to pray aright. You ask and receive not because you pray amiss. And then here comes little Paul to tell us, well, what you have to do is pray without ceasing. Now, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, in order to enter a new consciousness, we must learn how to pray without ceasing. So that tells us that prayer is pretty, well, it's a pretty high priority. In fact, it is one of the keys, if not the key, to entering the kingdom. So what is prayer? What is it that actually takes place? We know that prayer has something to do with contacting God. We said that there is no God in the human scene unless one person makes that contact, unless there is one consciousness that knows how to pray. That is why you can have, well, you can have a whole congregation praying for an individual and they get worse. Because, believe it or not, no one in the congregation is making that contact. Why, you can have a whole nation praying for its soldiers, and the soldiers lose the battle. That means a whole nation, in a whole nation that's praying that prayer, no one is making the God contact within. It's not that the nation is wrong in their desire to pray, because they're not. It's that the prayer is not true prayer. It's that no one in that nation that is praying that prayer has discovered the correct way to pray. And if they had discovered the correct way to pray, I guarantee you, no one that had discovered that would be praying that prayer that the rest of the congregation is praying, or the rest of the nation is praying. So, what is prayer? Well, let's look at what prayer is not, so we can decide once and for all if we really are or really have been praying. If you have not been seeing any results from your prayer, you might as well admit it, and I might as well admit it, I have been praying erroneously. The false concept of prayer comes from believing that we can go to God to get something. And it's not our fault. It's a world concept. It's everywhere. We are taught from a very young age, pray real hard. And if you have enough faith, your prayer will be answered. And maybe in a certain way that's true, because if you have enough faith in something, then it will happen. But that's not prayer. That's faith in something. That's you. That's why often, well, there's a saying that says, be careful what you pray for, you just might get it. And that saying means that you may have enough faith to bring about an answer to your prayer, but if it is a human and your best mind, your best ideas, is going to be very limiting, and it may even lead to your destruction. So, that is not the nature of prayer. asking God for something, going to God to get something, and having enough faith in God that you'll get it. That's not prayer as we are understanding it. That's not prayer as Paul understood it. That's not prayer as James understood it. So, what then is prayer? Is it taking and memorizing a prayer, even as noble a prayer as the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If we have had any time in church or in a fellowship that says that prayer repeatedly, chances are that by now we've memorized it. And so if we go within and close our eyes and say that prayer to ourselves silently, repeat that prayer to ourselves, does that result in, or does that bring about results? If you have a problem and you walk around thinking to yourself and saying to yourself maybe 300 times a day, thy grace is my sufficiency, thy grace is my sufficiency, thy grace is my sufficiency. Is it not often that it brings no results and things continue to deteriorate, go downhill? And then we scratch our heads and wonder, I've been trying to practice that principle. I've been praying. No, you have not. True, you've been putting effort into your attempts. But I can put as much effort as I want to using a fork to eat soup, tomato soup, and I won't get very much, will I? Even if I use my maximum effort. Because it's the wrong way to eat soup. And vain repetitions are vain because they don't bring results. I'm well aware, as you are, that sometimes saying, he performeth that which appointeth me to do over and over might bring about a state of relaxation where I'm not quite so tense if I'm facing something that's new or difficult. But that's not prayer. Let's be honest. That's just my sort of hypnotizing myself into relaxing. So, memorized prayer, vain repetitions, going to God to get something, asking God for something, or having enough faith that I can get my prayers answered, all of that is not prayer. Well, what does that leave me with? What am I left with? So I consult the writings. I consult scripture. I may even consult others who are getting results and find out what the secret is. The secret to this thing called prayer. What is the nature of real prayer? And this word keeps popping up. The silence. Well, that doesn't help me much. I can close my eyes and be as quiet as a church mouse. And yet, still no results. What is prayer? How do I attain it? Will somebody please tell me? Well, that's what I'm going to try to do today. Try to help you to see what it is. But even if you are successful in catching this vision, it will still be up to you to practice it. And I can tell you that it does take practice because the mind returns again and again to these outdated forms of prayer. But I can also tell you that it will, once you know how to pray, once you know the nature of prayer, you will come back to it again and again, because you know it's the only thing that brings results. And what results really are we talking about? We're talking about being able to, well, when you're faced with an appearance of lack, seems as if you don't have enough money, or you don't have enough skill, or you don't have enough material possessions, or you don't have enough strength. When you're faced with an appearance of limitation, praying rightly will bring results, which the results we're speaking of is that that sense of limitation will dissolve. And whatever the need is will be fulfilled. And so we're talking about harmony being restored. Those are the results that we are looking for, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, as we go along with this, we'll find out that all our needs are met pretty much, and we'll reach a place where we don't need prayer for that anymore. We need prayer for our spiritual awareness, just to dwell in the presence of God. But in the beginning, when we're first learning what prayer is, we need it for these other things. We may have an appearance of loneliness, as if there's no one around, no one that understands us, no one that we can love or that loves us. That's an appearance, but very real while you're walking in it, isn't it? Perhaps there's an experience of grief. We are missing someone, terribly so. Well, the results that we would want in prayer are to find out that we are living in omnipresence, and that that presence is our companionship everywhere. The results we want are a sense of peace inside, knowing that we are never alone again. And that's a valid result. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, we might be also faced with a health issue. Something is limiting us. We're sick with something where we can't get around and can't really live life. Something is causing us to be in bed or unable to walk or unable to breathe or in one way or another unable to function as fully as we should. And so the results that we would look for there, that we would definitely want, are freedom from that sense of lack and limitation. And true prayer will bring us the realization that life is not in the body, or the body does not give us life. Life animates the body. We will find our freedom in Christ. And so these are the results in the beginning that we are looking for through the practice of prayer. And as I said, later we will find that all our needs are met almost all of the time, and so our attention can be focused on the real goal in life, which is the conscious awareness of omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence, which is the conscious awareness of our true identity, the fact that we are hid with Christ in God. But here at the beginning, learning what the nature of prayer is, we are not looking for that yet. We're looking for harmony to be restored where this ugly appearance is. And so this brings us back to that word silence. What is it? How do we attain it? How do we know we've attained it? What happens after we do? We know enough to know that when we first sit down to pray, we are staring at the ugly appearance. Let's take the appearance of lack. It looks like I do not have enough money this month to meet a particular need. And the date that it is due is rapidly approaching, and I'm afraid. I am experiencing fear. It looks scary to me. And then mix in with that you want to be a good provider for your family. And so there's a little issue of feeling like a failure. And all this is wrapped around and staring us straight in the face, minute by minute, hour after hour. It's driving us crazy. Well, we can battle it by throwing repetitions of truth at it. To him that has, it shall be given, or thy grace is my sufficiency, or all that the Father has is mine, all that the Father has is mine. But we can only keep that up for so long, and then something within us says, what are you doing? The check's not coming. Get real, Buster. Well, at that point, we can be pretty definitely sure that we have not yet found prayer. So what is the correct way to handle this error? What is the correct way to pray? Well, of course you have to sit down, get comfortable, close your eyes. Now here's that big ugly appearance staring at you. It just said to you, get real, Buster. What are you going to do about it? You have the hot potato right there. And you're flipping it from hand to hand, and it is hot. How are you going to pray? The very first thing, once you are comfortable, is to admit it. Here is that ugly appearance of lack. It brings with it a sense of fear, a sense of limitation, a sense of personal failure. What am I supposed to do with this? Okay, all the writings, all of the books I've read over the years tell me that this is an appearance. An ugly appearance, yes, but an appearance. And I am not supposed to do anything about it, because the minute I do something with it, I am deadlocked. It's a stalemate. Error and I are wrestling, like Jacob. So I'm not supposed to do anything about it other than to admit it's ugly and it's an ugly appearance. So now let me set that little hot potato down. Continue to close my eyes. And what should I do? What is prayer? Something about the silence. Oh, yes, now I remember. I am supposed to attain a state of silence in which I have a God contact. So how do I do that? Well, I'm supposed to start by rehearsing the truth. We are supposed to rehearse the truth, which is not vain repetitions. It's simply lightly within yourself looking at the truth. We might recall, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I, the Father, have is thine. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. you do not have to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. Your Father will give it to you. Take no thought. His grace is your sufficiency. The kingdom of heaven comes at a moment you think not. I go before you. I make the crooked places straight. I go to prepare a place for you. Who of you, if asking your father, your human father, for a loaf of bread, will be given a stone? Well, then, if your human father knows how to give such good gifts, how much more does your heavenly father? You say there are yet 4 months to the harvest, but I say, look again, the fields are already white. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am your sufficiency. What we are doing is rehearsing the truth for one reason only. Listen now. We are rehearsing the truth for one reason only. This rehearsing the truth, as we just did, is not prayer. It is not prayer. If you only go this far, you will have no results. There's another step. To bring answered prayer. So we are rehearsing the truth within ourselves for one reason only, and that is to calm down. Remember, we started faced with an ugly appearance, feeling fear, and all those other emotions. Now, if we have rehearsed the truth and leaned back, rested back in it, we are getting somewhat calm inside. We are approaching that place where prayer can take place. Perhaps we're not calm enough, so we continue. The Father loveth the Son and giveth him all things. If you follow me, you will never be without. I am the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me, and I and my abundance will abide in you. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Now we are feeling calm. We are getting quiet inside. We have forgotten for a moment any problem because we are dwelling and abiding in the truth. And the truth is abiding in our consciousness. And we are getting close now. Close, I say, to the point of prayer. Perhaps we look at a few more statements of truth until we've come to the end of what we can remember. And now we take a breath and let it out. I'm done now, Father. You speak. Speak, Father. Thy servant heareth. I am listening. I am receptive. Father, reveal your truth. And we rest. Inside now, we are silent. and into this silence, God utters His voice. When God utters His voice, when you feel a stirring, a quickening, a presence, a peace, God is praying. You are nothing more now than an awareness of God praying. When God prays, the earth of error melts. Here in the silence, as you feel the Spirit move over the face of the water, that is, the Spirit flow into your consciousness, that is, the Spirit flow into your conscious awareness, God is praying and you are hearing it. Only God can pray. That is why we were told you cannot pray. It is the Spirit that makes intercession. You see this clearly now? Here in the silence, standing very, very still, you receive the quickening, the Spirit, the peace, the presence, the prayer of God. God itself utters its voice, prays within you, moves. There's a movement within. That is God's prayer. And in some mysterious way, in some miraculous way, when God utters its voice, when you feel that movement, the earth of error melts, and you do not know how. The ways of God are past finding out. But it does bring results. Because if you do this several times, you will discover that that ugly error disappears. The need is fulfilled. You don't know how. Somebody comes and offers you some extra work on the side. A check, a rebate, a tax refund. Something shows up. Somebody comes along and says, I feel like you need this. God said, give it to you. I've had that happen too. Very strange ways, it seems to human reason, and yet the need is met, and you are amazed. Wow! Now I understand what prayer is. Why man cannot pray? Then what did Paul mean? You are to pray without ceasing. He meant simply, you are to be silent and still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand ye still. And that you are to make it a constant practice. You are to be receptive at all times. That is your job on the spiritual path, to be receptive so that the still small voice can pray. Do you see that? How different that is from what we were taught as children. And yet you do not have to take my word for it. That's the beauty of it. If you will practice true prayer, you will see the results for yourself, and you will say, well, now I don't believe because he told me. I believe because I've seen it work. Just like the people that came to the well, which means consciousness, saw Christ there and said, well, we don't believe now because of what the woman at the well said. We believe because we've heard him ourselves. You see, this was a scripture telling us that you will do the same thing. You will say, oh, I don't believe now because he said so. I believe because I've heard Christ for myself. I've heard that inner prayer happen. This is wonderful. This is great. This is the answer to all of our problems. And there's not one single problem. I mean, do you honestly believe that there's any problem you could come up with that God praying within you couldn't answer? You know better than that. We may have some that we don't see how he can answer, but that's not important. What is important is that you pray aright, which is that you leave the problem outside. Don't deny it. Don't say it isn't there, because it is. And so you look at the problem, you admit that it's there, admit that you have heard it's an appearance, but you're not feeling that right now. Set it outside. Come inside your inner temple and begin knowing the truth with your mind. Until you reach that state of stillness, it may take 5 minutes, it may take an hour. What do you care as long as you get results from answered prayer? Then when you reach the stillness, in that silence, it only takes a split second, you feel or hear or sense the still small voice. You are an observer. You observe prayer taking place. You are a witness. You witness prayer taking place. You don't pray, you witness it. You observe a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. That's what that means. You witness the Spirit of the Lord upon you as it prays. And you have nothing to do with it. It is without your hands. It is without your mind. Your mind, when you sat down to pray, or to prayer, was filled with this, well, wrestling with the appearance. Slowly you began to know the truth. You let go of the appearance long enough to know some truth with the mind. And the mind got quieter, calmed down, until the mind became so quiet, so calm, that it accidentally became receptive. There was an opening for a moment. Everything forgotten but the stillness and the listening and the anticipation. And suddenly there's that movement, a spirit upon the face of the waters, the presence of God descending, the still small voice uttering itself. There's a movement, a quickening, and you know that God is on the scene. You feel a weight fall off your shoulders. There's a sense of peace, a calm. Ah, thank you, Father. You have just, the mind has reached its proper function. as an avenue of awareness. That's the mind's proper function. And so we might say that the nature of prayer is when the mind performs its proper function as an avenue of awareness, becoming aware of the Spirit of God, actually moving within you, within your consciousness. Do we see now what real prayer is? I think we do. With practice, you will find that your mind slowly becomes less and less involved with problems. Because as you see results, you will know what you need to do. You will know how to pray rightly. And so you will find that your mind wrestles with problems in your life less and less. You will find that your mind is knowing truth throughout the day more and more. Because it just happens because you want to be in the presence of that Spirit of God. It's a natural evolution within you. And so the mind will wrestle with problems less and less, and it will know truth more and more. But then the mind will find that it is able to maintain that receptivity, that moment of stillness, that silence, more and more. And you will find yourself slipping into it, even while you're performing your duties at work, or driving a car, or talking to your family. You will find the mind more and more performing its proper function as an avenue of awareness. And your prayers will bring results because it won't be you doing the praying. More and more you will be an avenue of awareness, watching the wondrous things that God does through you as it utters its voice through you. Until you reach the place where you are almost a constant conscious awareness of those invisible hands cutting the stone out of the mountain without your help. And when you really do succeed in Paul's instruction to pray without ceasing, what will you be? You will be a transparency as God lives itself as itself through you. Always. This is fabulous. We are tricked, really, into becoming our true spiritual identity. We're tricked into it because we come to a spiritual way of life with problems, looking for results. And we find those results. We find the correct nature of prayer. And more, we become an open vessel through which we witness God praying. And when God prays, the Word becomes flesh. All those results we were looking for, that harmony, is restored. And if it was never there in the first place, harmony is revealed. And this leads us on and on until there's a transition. There's a point within you that the mind becomes a permanent, it performs its proper function permanently, that which it was created to do, which is to be a witness of God, which is to be a receptivity to the still small voice, which is to be a channel through which the Spirit moves. And so we come to realize our true identity, that which we were really created to be, which is God itself expressing. Is that not fabulous? And then we have to reach back here and try to remember our brothers and sisters who are still struggling with these gigantic problems. After all, did not somebody help us? Somebody did. We received help in a message, in a book, in a talk, in a class. What if everybody just forgot about, well, they were content with just simply being still and they walked off into the mountains somewhere? How would we get this? And so I think out of gratitude, because we've been lifted up into the truth of our true identity, I think we need to reach back. Well, I know it. We need to reach back and help those that are just starting out. That's the price for finding your true identity. You must spend the rest of your life giving it away. The price for freedom is service. And so that's the whole idea behind this talk today, is trying to be of service to those of you that maybe didn't quite see clearly the nature of prayer and were not getting results. This is really an infinite topic, this nature of prayer, but this is a good place to hopefully look and see where we have maybe been missing the mark. I can tell you that there is no problem that you can have, however large and terrifying it looks, I can tell you that this form of prayer will bring results. Now, I can also tell you that it may take more than one attempt. By that, I mean, do you remember Jesus Christ healing the man's eyes? He said to him, "What do you see?" And the man said, "Well, I see trees walking around. It looks like trees." So Jesus Christ made a second attempt and said, "Well, what do you see now?" And the man said, "I see people." And he was instructed to go and tell no one, or to go and wash in the pool. And so it took Christ Jesus two attempts to heal the man that was blind. And so it may take us more than one attempt. So do not be discouraged and do not be disheartened if it takes you more than one attempt to bring results, or to see results, rather. If you have an appearance of lack and you feel you have honestly made that contact within, and it seems to lighten up a little, but it's not completely resolved, then by all means, continue. And the second or third contact, it will be dissolved. We come to this by degrees. When I decided I was going to play the guitar, I could not pick it up and play classical music, or blues, or even rock and roll. I had to learn the chords. I had to learn the correct way to hold it, the correct way to strum it, the correct placement of my fingers on the strings and the frets. I had to learn the progression of chords. I had to learn the order of chords for a particular song. And then all at once I was playing a song straight through from the beginning to the end, and my wife came in and said, "Hey, that sounds pretty good." Well, it's no difference in this. We are learning the nature of prayer. And if we revert, fall back into begging or thinking God's going to give us something, well, we need to shake the dust off our feet and try again. Listen to this talk or pick up the writings and see where we have missed the mark. We'll get it. All of us will get it. And once you have experienced results, once you have had that inner contact and felt that movement and seen the results appear as harmony out here, well, you've got it. You may forget it once in a while, but you've got it. Now what remains is to practice until, as in the case of learning how to play the guitar and learning music, you become proficient at it, where it doesn't take 2 hours. It takes maybe 30 seconds. But in each and every prayer, if you are to have results, you must have a couple of things happen. One, you must reach that inner quiet, that calm. Well, let's start at the beginning. One, you must let go of the problem long enough to look at truth in order to have that quiet and that calm. Once you have that quiet and that calm, there must be this point of contact, this movement within, this descent of the spirit, this uttering of the still small voice, this quickening of the Father. And then you will see answered prayer. This is a universal truth, so anybody that does this will have results. And harmony, the harmony that you seek, will appear. See, we use these words, observe, witness, appear, in order to hint that you must have hands off, that you don't pray. You become aware of God praying within you. Well, I hope this helps today. I hope this is a really clear recording. We do not have the fan that's usually blowing on the other computer as a background noise. So other than the load of laundry I did in the background, this should be pretty clear. This is the nature of prayer, and it is yours. Once you have this, well, to him that hath, it shall be given. So practice. I can tell you it took practice with the guitar. And this too requires practice. Once you have attained the ability to hear prayer take place within you, then it is true. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You see, up until then, it's just a pretty statement. But once you have attained this, that statement becomes a living reality. It becomes your life. It becomes your very identity. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Thank you.